Today we celebrate the eighth day of Easter, the octave of Easter. This whole week has been Easter. I hope you've been celebrating the whole week, because it has been. When God created the world, he did it in 7 days, right? In 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he rested, right? And when God recreated the world, redeemed the world, again, if you think about it, he completed his work of redemption on what day? On the sixth day, on Good Friday, right? And then on the seventh day, on Holy Saturday, he rested in the tomb from his work. And then on the first day of the new creation, on the eighth day, on Easter Sunday, he rose again. And so that's been this whole week of the eighth day, the new day, the first day of the new creation. That's why, for example, very often baptismal fonts or other in churches are eight-sided, because that's where we enter into that. They're octagonal because of that, the beginning of that eighth day. So today is the octave of Easter, and through the spiritual intuition of St. John Paul II, this day has also been come to be known as Divine Mercy Sunday, because of that beautiful devotion that was given to the church from his homeland of Poland, you know, where St. Faustina was from, the devotion to the Divine Mercy. I know probably many of you all have been keeping the novena to the Divine Mercy that begun on Good Friday and then continues up. And today we have the celebration of Divine Mercy Sunday. This Sunday, the gospel reading, is always this reading about St. Thomas. It's interesting, we have, and it's sort of another one of these sort of real-time kind of readings. The gospel begins on the day of Easter, that evening, when Jesus appeared to the apostles and Thomas wasn't there. And he says to them, "Peace be with you." And then it's very interesting what he does. He shows them his hands and his side. Sort of a strange thing, isn't it? Peace be with you. And then he shows them the wounds of his passion, so that they know that it's really Jesus. The same Jesus who hung on the cross is there standing before them now, risen in his glorified and risen body. And then he says to them, he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's almost like Pentecost a little early, all right? In Hebrew and Greek, both, the word for breath and spirit are the same word. So breathing and sending your spirit are the same thing, essentially. That's why he breathes on them. We might think that's kind of weird, but it makes perfect sense. And he gives them the authority to forgive sins. This is basically the institution of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. Whoever sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whoever sins you retain are retained. Well, Thomas wasn't there. And when the other apostles say, "We've seen the Lord," they go, "I don't believe you. I don't believe you." And it's very interesting what he says, "And I won't believe until..." And he uses the same standard that Jesus used. "Until I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my hand into his side, then I'll believe." Isn't that interesting? When Jesus appeared to the disciples, that's exactly what he did. He showed them those wounds. And Thomas says, "I won't believe until I see that." And so then, a week later, that is, today, I told you we're dealing in real time. Today, Thomas is with them, and Jesus appears again. And what does he say? What does the risen Christ always say? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then he says, just like he did to the others, he showed them his... So he says, okay, Thomas, come here. Put your finger in the nail marks and put your hand into my side. And now believe. Believe. And Thomas, who we usually call Doubting Thomas, you know, he's gotten that, actually makes the most profound statement of faith that anybody does in the New Testament. He says, my Lord and my God. Doubting Thomas is the only person who ever calls Jesus God directly. That's a pretty good act. That's the supreme statement of faith right there that Doubting Thomas makes. So we have this incredible moment. And this is Divine Mercy Sunday. It tells us a lot about mercy. It ain't cheap. It's not cheap. It costs a lot. It costs more than you and I could ever think about paying. We could never, ever earn God's mercy. Ever. So please, don't let me ever hear any of you say something like, if I, you're saying something, I go into confession or I say, oh, well, Father, I'm a pretty good person. Like, I can do this on my own. No, you can't. I'm sorry, you can't, all right? No, and neither can I. We can't take care of our sins. We can't do it. But he will do it for us. He has done it for us. But we have to come and touch his wounds. When we seek his mercy, he will show us his wounds. And say, yes, please, come to this font of mercy. Come to this place of mercy. But it's not cheap. And so we need to come with reverence and awe. And that's what Doubting Thomas shows us. My Lord and my God. We want to avoid the sin of presumption. We want to come and experience this severe mercy. I read a book one time, had that title. I thought it was a neat title. A Severe Mercy. The mercy of God that we celebrate today is a severe mercy. And if we're going to really experience it, we're going to have to like literally touch those wounds ourselves. We have to experience them. We have to do as Jesus says, deny ourselves, take up our cross every day and follow him. And there is mercy. Because that's what the Lord Jesus shows us in his suffering, death, and resurrection. It's so divine, the way he saved us. He didn't save us by waving a magic wand, did he? You're saved from your sins. He could have done that. He's God. He could have done anything he wanted to. But instead, he took up the cross. He was rejected, betrayed, tortured, nailed to the cross, died in abject abandonment and humiliation and excruciating pain, and was buried in a borrowed tomb. And then he rose. What he's saying is, I'm going to do this for you in a way that acknowledges your reality in a way that you can share. If he had waved a magic wand, I couldn't have shared in that. I don't have a magic wand, okay? But I have crosses. Do you? I have to admit, mine aren't very big. Maybe God has more in store for me later on. Many of you do have crosses. Very heavy. All of us have crosses. Many of you have very heavy ones. Count yourself blessed. If you'll accept it in the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're being invited to touch his wounds, to know his mercy. Do you know where the salvation of the world comes from? That wound in his side, that blood and water that flows out, that's where the blood of Christ is poured out over all of us and by which we are saved. So if you are right there, if you're right there at the cross with Jesus, then you're being bathed in that saving bath of his blood. And there's no other way. Thomas got that part right, didn't he? I won't believe until he understood how important the wounds were. And that's why the church says in every church there needs to be an image, a prominent image of Jesus Christ crucified. Because that's when he completed his work. On the cross he said, "It is accomplished." And then he died. And so let us live this mercy. It triumphs over everything. I love that. In that second reading, listen to the second reading at the very the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, but bearing those glorious wounds of his mercy.